This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you and strengthens you and perhaps challenges you. Again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. And you can also email prayer requests from the website. At least the address that you can email me to is on the website. I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, as you know, we've been going through the names and titles of the Lord Jesus. One of the purposes of this program is to have those of us who are saved know more about the Lord Jesus, and perhaps to find him more wonderful than we did the day we were saved. And then we're concerned about those who claim to be Christians and who really have never had a time in their life when they faced their own sin and trusted in this one who is our Savior, this one who has satisfied God with regard to our sin by dying for us at the cross of Calvary, this one who has saved us from a lost eternity and for a blessed heaven. If you've never really met him, even though you might call yourself a Christian, we're concerned about you. And so as we look at these names and titles, they're designed to help us again to perhaps fall in love with the Lord again, and they're designed to give us confidence that the Lord is someone we can trust not only for time but for eternity. Now, I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. We looked at this last time when we were looking at our mighty God. But I want to read the whole verse, Isaiah 9 and verse 6, which says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of this very beautiful portion of Scripture. Now, as we look at this, you'll notice that I read it as it's found in the New King James Version and in the King James Version. His name shall be called Wonderful, comma, Counselor, comma, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Many have pointed out that except for Wonderful and Counselor, the other names are couplets. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so likely the first two, what we would call titles, separate titles, really should be a couplet as well. And we should look at this as his name being called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, last time we showed that the Lord Jesus was the Almighty God, and today I want to look at him then in this light, that he is the Wonderful Counselor. And really, I've asked myself, how could I redefine those terms so they might stick in our minds? And I would say that wonderful means marvelous, and counselor means advisor. So his name shall be called Marvelous Advisor. And my point today is that whether we're saved or unsaved, we need to listen to his counsel, because his counsel is counsel that will benefit us for time and for eternity. His advice will benefit us for time and for eternity. Now, I want to note that as we look at this passage, we're told that unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. Now, the Bible is very clear that the Lord did not become a son when he was born. And so you'll notice that these words are chosen very carefully by the Holy Spirit. Unto us a child is born. And that was the Lord Jesus. And that's what we call Christmas time. I don't know that the Lord was born in December, and I don't want to go into all of that, but let's just call this Christmas. A child is born. But then unto us a son is given, and I want to look at that as the cross. And I want to see that in that statement, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his unique Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so at the birth of the Lord, we got a child, and the Lord became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But we'll notice that he was always the Son. The Trinity existed long before Christmas. And so when we look unto the Son being given, we know that the Son was given by the Father to be the Savior of the world. And the idea of having a son is not only something that we would look at in a natural way as a bloodline, but in eternal things, it's more the position that is involved. And a son, or one who represents the Father, because that was often what the Son did, one who carried out the wishes of the Father, because that was often what a son did, one who had the office of leading the family when the Father was not present, which is what a son did often did, that's the Son that is given. But the Son is God, and the Son is eternal. As a matter of fact, we find out that in creation, we find out that even the wording back in Genesis chapter 1 implies a plurality of persons. And so we would know that the Son has been given. A child is born, that is, Jesus was born into this world, and we know God through him, but it was the eternal Son that was also given, and he died for us at the cross of Calvary. Now, when we look at this man being, or at the Lord Jesus being, a marvelous advisor, it would seem that it would only be right that we would take his advice, but we won't take his advice unless we believe his advice is good. And in this world today, there's wicked advisors, and not all of them look like they're wicked, and there are good or Christ honoring advisors, and we have to be careful as to whose advice we listen to. Are we listening to worldly wisdom, or are we listening to spiritual wisdom? And we see that in Psalm 1, where we read these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So we know that there are ungodly people giving counsel today, and many of them are trying to turn our youth away from the truth of Scripture and from the idea that there's accountability to our Creator, to the Almighty God. Many are trying to redefine sin. Many are trying to redefine righteousness. And often when I talk with people about the gospel, I have them tell me that, and I just had somebody tell me this recently, that his mother, though she had been raised in what I would call a rather strict denomination, had raised the children to believe that anybody that was good would end up in heaven. And I realize that that's logical, to say that anyone who is good will end up in heaven, and whether it be a good Muslim or a good Buddhist, as this person said, they would all end up in heaven. And I was talking to him about some of his relatives, because I know they're involved in ministries that do not believe that. The ministries that we would believe are godly and give godly counsel would believe in the truth of John chapter 6, where the Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And godly counsel would take you to the Scripture and would point out that there is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So those who say that the good go to heaven, that is, the good who are not made righteous through faith in Christ, but who just try to live good lives, those who would say that, while they're perhaps well-meaning, they're giving the counsel of the ungodly. They are counseling as an ungodly person who does not understand their own sinnership. And so when we begin to think about the counsel of the ungodly, we have to admit that We ourselves know that we're sinners. We look at our own hearts and we know that we don't always do what we know we should do. We know that our own consciences condemn us, let alone needing to go to the scripture and finding out that we haven't met the standards of a righteous God as well. And so we find that the good people and those who, in perhaps a well-meaning way, tell us that good people go to heaven, they're giving us the counsel of the ungodly. But more than that, there is a rebellion today against God himself. And of course, in the second psalm, which is really a continuation of the first psalm, we read these words, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us," and they basically are saying, "let us reject him and destroy him." And that took place, of course, when the Lord was crucified. And we just find that the counsel of the ungodly is always in rebellion in some fashion against the truth of Scripture. And the truth of Scripture does not make sense to a natural man, because we're told that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so we know that we don't think right about spiritual things until we come to that point of repentance where we begin to say God is right and I am wrong and I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And then only can we take good counsel, and the good counsel has to do with those who trust in the Word of God when it says that Christ died for sinners. And so we know that in terms of salvation, we need good counsel. But then in terms of our lives, we need good counsel. And today, even when it comes to people who would say they're Christians, they have chosen certain sections of the Bible to believe and certain sections of the Bible to reject, and it just doesn't work that way. You either accept it all, or it seems to me you haven't accepted it at all. Now, I understand that we are not living in the Old Testament, and so we have to look at the Old Testament as being explained by the New, and there are principles that are involved in that interpretation, and many people have differences of interpretation, but nevertheless, once we get by that problem, we know that the simple truth of Scripture is that Christ died for sinners. There's no good people, and the counsel of the ungodly says we don't need him, we don't need Christ, and God says we do. And so we need to make sure that we're taking and responding to good counsel. And the Lord has given us his word and has become a marvelous advisor. If we would believe him, not only would we be saved for eternity, but our lives would be better as well. I hope that you're listening to the counsel of the Lord and not to the counsel of the ungodly. His name will be called Marvelous Advisor or Wonderful Counselor. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.